Good morning and Merry Christmas. Good to see everybody this morning. I was taught in public speaking, you should never apologize before you begin, but I am going to do that today. What you see on the front of your bulletin is incorrect, and I apologize because it's not Linda's fault, it's mine. When I was pastoring full-time, I got to the point where I never put the title of my message in the bulletin, because by Friday or Saturday, it was usually a different message. Praise God. And I always hoped that it was his message, not mine. So if I was going to put a title to this message today, I would call it The Days or The Day After Christmas. You know, I started putting lights up on the house a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving. I use those icicle lights, and I climb on the ladder, and I get on the roof. Crazy. Yeah, I know. Well, I'm just 78, so no big deal. And then I put icicle lights on the deck, and I hang ornaments, decorations out there. But I don't turn them on until Thanksgiving night, because it reminds me of what I have to be thankful for all year long. And that we celebrate at Christmas. This year, Tiffany and Victor came. Some of you might have met Victor. He stands out in a crowd. He's about 6'3" and as black as the music stands up here, and we love Victor. We came to Christmas Eve service, and then we went home and had a nice evening together. That day, we had had lunch at Perini's for our Christmas dinner because Tiffany and Victor had to leave on Sunday, on Christmas, to go back to work. We were here for candlelight with most of you, and it was a beautiful service and a great time. We open gifts Christmas Day, and that's always a joy. Shared a light lunch, and then they left about 3 that afternoon. Christmas was over. Done. But not really. Not really. For you see, this is the Christmas season. I ask that the Christ candle be lit today because during this time on the Christian calendar, this is the Christian's Christmas season from Christmas to Epiphany, which is January 6th, and Jeff may be talking about that next week. I don't know. It's the 12 days of Christmas. And so we're celebrating Christmas today. For me, after Christmas, there's both a letdown and a relief. A letdown because there's no more beautiful lights, and I'm going to have to take down all of those lights and get up on the roof again. No more packages under the tree. No more good moods and pretty songs. Thank you, Trevor, and all the praise band for playing today. But there's no more pressure. What to buy, what to fix for meals, who to send or not to send Christmas cards to. But there's also some sorrow reminding us of loved ones that celebrated Christmas with Jesus in my Father's house. So we go back to normal, right? But hopefully not normal for us. Normal for the world, but not for us. Because you see, it's the day and the days after Christmas. Ever since Jeff asked me to preach on this day, which was several weeks ago, I've been contemplating the question, so what now? What now after Christmas? My answer to me was they're the most important days, more important than the days before. the world settles back down and the distractions of Christmas are gone, but the distractions of the world are still here. And so what do we do now? These contemplations kept bringing me back to the shepherds. For some reason. Actually, this is the third message that I put together for today. The first two were specifically about the shepherds. This one kind of is. What did the shepherds do the day after and the days after that first Christmas in Bethlehem? Let's look at God's holy word and see if maybe we can get something out of that. I like to use God's word and try to apply it to present time for me and for others. And so first of all, let's look at Luke 2:17-20. You've heard it. You know it probably. This is what God's word says. Now, when they, the shepherds, had seen him, Jesus, they made widely known the sayings which were told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. God's holy word for the people of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for Christmas, for the gift of the Christ child who became the Savior of the world, became my Savior. And Lord, I stand here, I don't know why. I'm just as much a wretch as the Amazing Grace talks about as anybody, and yet some reason I'm here. And so I just pray that whatever is said and done, that people would hear your voice, the voice of your Holy Spirit, in accordance with their needs. Lord, bless the reading of this word, that we might receive it into our hearts for these days after Christmas, in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage says, I think there are three ways we can respond to Christmas in the days after. Number one, it says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, unquote. After Christmas, we're to spend time pondering what we have heard and read and think we know, because sometimes what we think we know, it's not near enough. How many times have you heard the Christmas story? Have you heard it more than 25, 30, 50 times? I had a lady in one of my churches one time said, I get so tired of hearing the Christmas story. And I almost cried. I never get tired of that story. Many could come up here and tell the story yourself. It becomes almost routine, like, no disrespect, like saying the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed. What were you thinking about this morning when you repeated those two? It is possible that just maybe we get a spiritual callus over our hearts so the real truth cannot penetrate deep into our daily lives. My friends, familiarity breeds contempt. Let me tell you a little story. I love this one. There was a chauffeur who took this professor around. He was a science professor, and he took him around to dozens of speaking engagements, and he heard the same canned speech scores of times by the professor. And he said on the way to one engagement, he told the professor, he said, as he was driving, you know, I'll bet you I could give that speech. word for word. And the professor says, yeah, I bet you can. I'll bet you $50 you can't. And the chauffeur said, you're on. So he pulled over to the side of the road. They both got out. They changed clothes, got back in the limo. And the professor drove the limo up there. And the chauffeur, he got out. He sat at the head table. He was introduced. He stood up and he gave the speech word for word. And when he got done, they all stood up and they gave him a standing ovation. When they sat down, the MC got up at the head table and he said, you know what? We got a little time left here. You know, we're fortunate to have this fine resource in our presence tonight. And since we have a little extra time, let's take some questions and answers. The first question was asked, and the chauffeur stood there, dumbfounded, clearing his throat in nervousness. Finally, with a flash of insight, he said, you know what? That is the stupidest question I've ever heard. In fact, that question is so stupid that I'll bet my chauffeur can answer it. He didn't know much except the story, did he? Just the words. Nothing behind it. The first way to respond to the Christmas message is to make it clear in our hearts by pondering it in new ways. Ponder this for a minute. Just put up with me, okay? Some Christmas traditions, you have to admit, are strange. There was a greeting card one time that I read about, and this is what it said. Christmas is just plain weird. What other time of the year do you sit around in your pajamas, staring at a dead tree in your living room and eating candy and fruit out of your socks? You know, when you think about it, and I've thought about it, there are some things about the whole Christmas story that are also kind of weird, kind of strange. I mean, think about it a minute. A teenage girl, virgin teenage girl, gets pregnant. And wow, then an angel shows up and talks to her and says, it's okay, she has found favor with God. And then Caesar, he just happens to call a tax, which requires them to go to some little town named Bethlehem so they can be registered for the tax. More angels show up. When they get there, there's no room in the inn. Is this God's plan? No place for the Christ child? So God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, he is placed in a manger with animals in a feeding trough. Doesn't this sound kind of weird? Kind of strange? Not to us. No. But to those who weren't brought up knowing this story and in the tradition of Christmas and in the knowledge of what God has done by the reading and the consuming of the Word of God, it's weird, it's strange, and it's hard for them to accept all of that. You have heard this story so many times, but have you ever really stopped to ponder it? C.S. Lewis said, and this is one thing I would say to you because I'm not telling you anything new today. He said, you don't need to be told new ideas so much as you need to be reminded of old truths. And that's all I'm trying to do today, to remind you of old truths that we need in our new lives. This day and every day after Christmas, we are to remember again the true meaning of Christmas. God gave himself for us. He lowered himself and became flesh. We saw him and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. He was born into this world so that we might be born into his world. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good news, folks. He is the Savior of all of us that believe and receive his gift. Let us ponder always seeking God's revelation for us of the real reason for Christmas. Second thing, day after Christmas, days after Christmas, every day, we are to be in an attitude of praise. The shepherds witnessed the world's greatest birth announcement. I'm sure you've heard and read these words many times, but let me just highlight one word for you in this scripture, Luke 2, verse 10 through 12. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find him, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." The word, my friends, is you. Y-O-U. The angel said to the shepherds, these guys just out there with their sheep, nobody important, just shepherds. The angel said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy. A Savior is born to you. This is a sign to you. You will find the baby," the angel's message to the shepherds and to us, that Jesus is your Savior, your King, your Christ, your gift, straight from God the Father Almighty. It's for you and me. How do we get a hold of that one? You've often heard the scripture, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Hey, folks, put your hand up pointing to the heavens. Now, put it in your chest and say with me, "For God so loved me. For God so loved me." That makes a difference, doesn't it? Yeah, we're in the world, but it's me. It's me. You know, when we open gifts Christmas Day, all the gifts that I wrap, and I love to wrap, and I do them all, even brighter than that red coat I'm wearing today, they all have the name of the person that they're for. And who it's from. The message that of the angel is that Jesus is your gift from God. Make you up a Christmas sticker that you put on packages that says, "To me from God," and put it on your bathroom mirror, rearview mirror, your car, if you need a reminder of who that gift is for. Such an incredible gift requires a response, and that response is praise to him. We are created to fellowship with and to glorify God. We can never thank him enough. We can never praise him enough for his precious gift. And that begins here. And should be with us every day after Christmas, because today is a day after Christmas, but it's still the Christmas season, and I hope it is all year long for you. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him and display it however it prays. The third thing that the Scriptures tell us in verse 17 through 18 tells us to proclaim. I love that motto for our church mission statement. Tell them. Go and tell them. Proclaim it. The shepherds went out when they left there, it says, and they proclaimed it all that they had seen and heard. I imagine there was a lot of people that didn't believe him, at least for about 30 years, right? But they continued to proclaim. Because you see, their responsibility is only to proclaim, and I share that with you today to tell you your responsibility is to share your faith. It's not whether or not they accept it. You're never a failure when you share your faith, when you proclaim who God is and what He's done for you. Treasuring Jesus Christ is something we do not by keeping Him to ourselves, but by making Him known to the whole world. Got another story for you. This one's not funny. In the mid-1700s, a young man was born, and he lived until the mid-1800s. He was a violin dealer, a repairman, and a collector of violins. His name is Luigi Terzoa. I probably said that wrong, so we'll just call him Luigi from here on. He was found dead one day in a very bare home. In fact, he was in the attic. But with him was 246 exquisite violins, including 26 Stradivarius. Now, if you know anything, that's the Cadillac or the Lincoln or whatever you want to call it, of violins. One of those was made in 1716. But it had never been played in 140 years. No one had ever heard the beautiful music that would come from that instrument. It was hidden from the world because he treasured the violins. Many of Jesus' people are like old Luigi in their love for the church and what they have. They fail to give the glad tidings to the world. The beautiful music of redemption, forgiveness, and salvation. When shall we learn that the good news need not be first cherished, but proclaimed as well? All people need to hear this story. All people need to hear it. They all need to come to the manger and give the gift to Jesus of their heart and begin to live the days after Christmas the way God intended for them. Like the angels, we need to proclaim the light that Jesus came brings into one's life. We need to wake them up from their sleep unto sin and death and point them to the one that makes every day Christmas. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of death, a light has dawned," unquote. And then in verse 6 it says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That, my friends, is something to ponder and to praise and to proclaim all the days of our life. I'd ask the singers and praise band to come back up. We're going to sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful," The manger is here. The nativity. I proclaim to you today that Jesus Christ is born, that he lived and was crucified and raised again, and he lives and can live in your heart. Every service should provide the opportunity to make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, or to at least be able to come and proclaim something special, something wonderful that God is doing in your life, if he is. And so I want to give you that chance today. And so as we sing this song, I encourage you, if you have never come to the manger for the purpose of giving back to Jesus the gift of your heart, do that this morning. Don't leave this place without knowing what tomorrow can be. Accept the gift today because it is for you. Make your profession of faith to our risen Savior. And if you have a prayer request this morning that you want to pray about, you can come forward. Or if you want somebody to pray with you about something this morning as we sing, come forward, raise your hand, and one of our prayer folks on our prayer leadership team will come and gladly pray with you. And I ask Jeff to come up now as we sing this song, and I invite you to come for whatever reason God is encouraging you and leading you to do. Amen. Amen.